stories take more than curiosity, creativity, and passion to tell. They demand responsibility.
How can storytellers be sure that they've built real relationships and experiences with the people represented in their content versus simply extracting their experiences?
For Indigenous peoples, the harm isn't hypothetical. It's very real. It's a result of decades of stories being told about them rather than with them.
It isn't just about getting the facts right. It's about voice, consent, and mutual respect. Because when it comes to Indigenous stories, intent isn't enough. Impact is everything. Hello and welcome to First Frame, where creators come for answers. Brought to you by TELUS StoryHive. I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. And on this season of the podcast, we're diving into practical and ethical challenges facing Canadian content creators in 2026.
With insights from emerging creators, seasoned pros, and industry insiders, it's our goal to give you clear and actionable advice you can use right now.
Canadian content creators need a podcast to call home. This is it.
When telling stories about communities you're not part of, the stakes are high. Representation, trust, and understanding aren't just nice to have, they're essential.
Especially when you're talking about Indigenous communities, where stories carry culture, history, and identity, and there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach.
Authentic Indigenous storytelling starts with listening, not leading. That's why I'm thrilled to introduce our guests for today's conversation so we can do some listening ourselves. Shailen Johnston is a writer and filmmaker based in Coquitlam, BC. Shailen, welcome to First Frame.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here today. So to get things started, Shailen, can you tell our listeners and viewers a little bit about yourself, your background, and the work that you do?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Shailen Johnston. I am Anishinaabe on my mom's side. We're from Saugeen First Nation and I'm Irish-Canadian settler on my dad's side. I grew up in East Vancouver. I have an MFA in creative writing from UBC, and I'm also a writer and director. And outside of that, I work as a program coordinator at Kapalani University for the Indigenous Digital Accelerator. And I'm now back at UBC also teaching screenwriting.
Well, you're not busy at all, are you?
With a little bit of time in there to keep being creative.
Just a little bit. Well, let's dive into today's topic because, as we mentioned, good intentions are not enough. We know our creators want to tell Indigenous stories respectfully, but they don't always know where to start. What do you think they need to think about right from the get-go?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I mean, it's sort of a standing rule within the Indigenous film community. You'll hear us say nothing about us without us. So there should always be Indigenous inclusion in the stories that you want to tell. It should be that the story is either done collaboratively, I would say, with Indigenous writers and directors, producers, if you can, if it's something that you're feeling like you want to tell. I think the question that you should probably be asking if you're not Indigenous is, why do you feel the need to tell this story?
I guess that bridges into my next question then is, what are some of the harms that creators can cause when telling stories without required respect or authenticity and care?
Well, I think the key word there is what you said right at the end is like the authenticity. It's so damaging, I think, to tell stories that are not authentic to the people who have those lived experiences. Because if your film goes off and plays to a large audience and they're taking that as sort of like a knowledge and education, what are they taking away from like an inauthentic voice as opposed to what they may have taken away from somebody who has those lived experiences that is telling those stories? What are you perpetuating when you're telling a story that you don't hold the truth to?
With regards to that, maybe you can tell us about some of your own projects and how you ensured that they were authentic and respectful.
Yeah, for sure. So I did two short films through TELUS StoryHive. My first short film was about a young girl learning how to jingle dance for the first time. She's learning that through her grandmother, and that was called The Healing Dance. And that was in the first of the Indigenous Storyteller edition. And when I was working on that story, it was a lot about like my own experiences of what I feel when I go to powwows. And so just really putting my heart of those experiences into what I wanted those characters to feel in those moments. And then just because we were using the language as well, I'm not a fluent speaker. My mom was a fluent speaker, but unfortunately I know just minimal words here and there. So I really wanted to make sure that the language was authentic so that when people were watching it, it wasn't, oh, like she didn't say that correctly, or that's not the way to say it. So I was actually taking Ojibwe language classes at the same time here in Vancouver, which was really lucky to find. And so I connected with my Ojibwe language teacher here in Vancouver, and she worked with me on all of the translations that we used in the film. And she actually came on board and she plays the grandmother in the film. So that was a really lovely connection for me to have and to be able to give back, to be able to say, like, here's what you've taught me, and here's how I'm taking it out and sharing that knowledge authentically with the world.
And what was your second project?
Yeah, the second project. So my second project, Anishinaabe Moen, actually just wrapped its circuit on the film festival. And that is another story rooted in my Anishinaabe culture. And it's about a young girl who is learning to speak the Ojibwe language. So again, like I said, I didn't grow up speaking the language. It was about, again, rooted in my own experiences of learning how to speak and pick up on words and really understand what it is that I was saying. And it was also rooted in my experiences of what I remember from my maternal grandmother passing away when I was young. So the two sort of intertwine together into this really beautiful story about this young girl who wants to surprise her grandmother with how much of the language that she's learned. And again, I had maintained that relationship with my language teacher. Her name is Monica Benson. And again, I asked her if she wanted to come on board and help me with the language. We were using a lot more of it this time around. And we just had a really fun experience. We incorporated an Ojibwe translation of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star into the film. So it was really fun to learn that. And it ended up being like, you know, a couple of our cast and crew learned the language as well. And there was a couple of us just like really learning how to sing that song, which I thought was really sweet. And again, she came back to play the grandmother as well. So I'm really happy that I have that collaborative relationship from her. And she's from like a neighboring community to mine in Ontario. So it's the same dialect that we use. So I was really happy to have that relationship with her and to have her come on board these two projects and to just help me really tell those stories authentically.
It's such a beautiful journey along the way. I think we need that behind the scenes of the crew singing the song.
You've mentioned the importance of doing the work early, not bringing in Indigenous voices as an afterthought. Can you expand on that?
I think it's just knowing right off the top that you're going to need to put the work in. And it shouldn't be something that it's like, oh, like we've got to do this as well. I get really excited to be able to incorporate my culture into the stories that I'm telling. And I've seen projects that have said, you know, we're going to bring in an Indigenous advisor into the project. And when I've heard some instances of that, it's like they're already getting ready to go into production. And really, for me, that's something that needs to start in development, especially, you know, like we were talking about before, if you're a non-Indigenous person working with Indigenous story or even Indigenous characters, for me, that's something that needs to come in right from the start, especially if you don't have that lived experience.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. I mean, we see pitches all the time that come in and the person who's pitching the story, the Indigenous story, is not an Indigenous individual. And quite often what we'll see is this note in their application where they do say they will bring in an Indigenous advisor or they will reach out to community, but they've already created their whole pitch and presented it to us without having that piece. So it's definitely something that we look at very, very closely when we get those pitches. Mm-hmm. And we're always wanting to see that they are actively engaged with the appropriate people when they come and pitch to us. Now, what would you say are some of the common missteps, I guess, or blind spots that you see, even from creators who think that they're doing the right thing?
Oh, common missteps. Well, I mean, first one off the top is sending in any kind of application when you haven't done any of the work, especially in a lot of Indigenous projects that I've worked on. You know, we've always had somebody that we are working with from the start. I think that Google can be a good place to start from. You know, especially like when I was first learning to speak my language, and The Healing Dance started off as a short story originally, I had, you know, one of my Indigenous friends who said, you know, you're allowed to use Google. And so that's how I started learning my language, was Google. I would Google, how do you say this? How do you say this? How do you say this? But when you're moving a project into something bigger, and even if I was going to have done anything else with that story, I don't think Google is enough. That's really when it's important to make sure that you're bringing in other people who have that knowledge that can help you. I don't think that it's good to just, you know, make assumptions on your own that you're like, oh yeah, this is good. Because, you know, like I was saying earlier, my language has several dialects. If you go from Manitoba to, you know, where my family is in sort of like southeastern Ontario, and then like if you go up to like northern Ontario, there's several different dialects. Mm-hmm. And like Google is not enough. So working, like being able to bring someone else to help you and to know when you don't have enough of the knowledge to go forward. I think like, don't make the misstep of just thinking like, oh, it's fine. Like we should be good to go. I would also say, especially in the age of like AI, where ChatGPT is just kind of pulling things from anywhere, right? Is definitely like, you don't want to assume that everything is just good to copy and paste and go.
That's really true. That actually makes me think of another question then. So what really separates a project that feels thoughtful and authentic from one that feels performative or tokenism?
I think if you look at any of sort of the old Westerns, there's a lot mm-hmm. of the word that's coming to mind is like fakeness in those. There was a documentary several years ago called Real Engine that really dived into asking who were the actors that were playing in all these films. You know, a lot of them weren't Indigenous. We're even still seeing that now in present day, a lot of actors being cast in Indigenous projects who aren't Indigenous. And I think that maybe non-Indigenous creators think that that's something that they can get away with, but it's like, we know, we always know. That's definitely something that will start to feel, not start to feel, it'll feel inauthentic right away. And you'll always get called out on it. It's not like something that's just going to go like over our head. And when you see something that's authentic, it's a little bit hard to describe, but it's like you just sort of feel it. For me, at least, I find that like when I'm in a theater and I'm watching an Indigenous movie, there's just something about the story that I'm watching and the way that it's being told that somebody gets it. I know that experience. If I have not lived that experience, I know friends who have lived that experience. I know family who have lived that experience. And it's just a connection that I feel. You know, you just know, I think, when something's authentic and when something isn't.
This has all been really valuable so far, but let's take a quick break from the conversation for a fun segment of our show. Today, we're going to play a little game called What's in Your Kit?
Here's how it works. In 1 minute or less, we'd love to hear about your go-to storytelling tool or tools, for that matter. That could be a gadget, maybe some software, or even something less tangible like guiding philosophy. So what's in your kit?
First and foremost, I'm a writer. So in my kit is generally my laptop. That's where all the work is getting done. But second of that is a timer. And that's because a lot of the work that I do is, I use the Pomodoro technique. Have either of you heard of that before?
I have not.
No.
So the Pomodoro technique is like where you do something for 25 minutes. It's like you set a timer and you turn off like all of your notifications. And for that 25 minutes, you just focus on what it is that you're doing. And then once the 25 minutes is up, you can take like a 5 minute break or a 10 minute break, and then you go back and do it.
I've heard of that. I just didn't know that was the name of it. But yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah. So my writing partner and I use that a lot. So a timer is probably the top thing in my toolkit.
Love that.
Now that we've talked about some of the common mistakes, let's shift into what doing this work well actually looks like. So Shailin, how can creators approach Indigenous storytelling in a way that's thoughtful, ethical, and grounded in respect?
Well, I think that it's just coming back to the overarching theme of today's episode, which is, you know, doing your research, making sure that you're connecting with community. And I would also say, you know, if you're coming on to an Indigenous story and you're not coming on board as like the writer or the director, is also just making sure that it's a story that you want to work on. When we were crewing up for Anishinaabemowin, my producer, Jesse Anthony, she sent the script to every single crew member and had them read it first and said, this is the story that we're working with. Please read through the script first. Let us know if this is a project that you want to work on. And I felt so much like love and respect for our crew because, you know, so many got back to us saying like, oh my gosh, you know, this is a beautiful story. I feel so much connection to it. This is something that I want to be a part of. I think that even just helped like when we were all on set because we all knew that we were coming on board this story that we all wanted to be a part of and that we could all sort of like either see ourselves in or just like really understand the heart of what was being told. So that would probably be my big one is make sure that it's a story that you want to be a part of. And also like some Indigenous stories can be hard to tell. So I think that that's also a good thing to keep in mind as well before going on to a project. Is it a story that like, you know, your heart is going to be able to handle, because sometimes the material is tough. We have a lot of heavy history in our culture. And sometimes that's something that you need to be aware of if something's going to be maybe triggering or traumatic. And I think that that probably goes across the board as well for any filmmakers, just making sure that it's a story that you feel comfortable being a part of and that you're going to be okay to follow through to the end.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And we definitely have a lot of pitches that come in with heavier topics. Mm-hmm. And we're always considering, you know, is this the right person to tell this story? How is it going to impact their subjects, their crew members, audiences, et cetera?
Yeah.
Now I have a question for you around reciprocity, which I think is a really important factor. Can you talk about what that looks like, especially when working with elders and language keepers?
When we're working with elders and language keepers, like especially on the projects that I've done, we've always made sure that we are paying them for not only their time that they're giving us, but also for the knowledge that we're sharing. So that's something that, you know, my producers and myself make sure that we have in the budget and that it's not just a thank you, here you go, but that it is respectful of their time and their knowledge as well. So that's always a key part of our budget. A lot of the work that I do, you know, not just in the films that I'm making, but in my work as a program coordinator, you know, I coordinate workshops for Indigenous filmmakers as well. And in that, we always make sure that we have an elder who comes in to welcome all of our participants in the workshop as well. And for that, we're always making sure that we are compensating people for their time and their knowledge as well, but also just making sure that the people that we're working with know that we're not just bringing them in to, you know, just like, oh, here, I just need you to translate these. Like, it's not just a transaction, it's relationship. And so it's not just like a one and done. Those are relationships that I want to make sure that I'm maintaining for years to come. Whether, you know, I'm going to work with them again or not, that's still something that I just want to make sure they know that it wasn't just transactional. I genuinely appreciate the relationship that I've developed with those people while we've been working together.
So relationships sound fairly important with everything that you've been mentioning today. So when we think about creators, though, and the work that they're doing, how can they go about learning on their own about Indigenous stories and communities without expecting Indigenous people to carry the burden?
So one resource that is often sent out on film sets, especially Indigenous ones, is Protocols and Pathways, the document created through the Imaginative Institute and the Indigenous Screen Office. And that's a really thorough guide about, you know, the responsibilities that we have as filmmakers when telling Indigenous stories, but also the protocols that we should be following through production on set. And I believe they're hoping to develop that further to kind of span, you know, going from development like all the way through a project is what, like, what I've heard rumblings of. But that's sort of like the number one resource. Any project that I've worked on in development rooms that I've been a part of or my own film sets, that's a document that gets sent out to everyone. And it's always, please make sure that you read this before our first day of coming together. So I believe that document is available on both the Imaginative website and the Indigenous Screen Office's website. And it's a PDF that you can download and have at the ready.
And we actually share it as well with all of our creators. It's in part of our list of resources for them as well. And I'll be honest, it's really exciting when we read pitches and see that creators are utilizing it and commenting that they are referring to it in their productions, which is fantastic. Now, there's obviously that document, there's resources out there, there's organizations like the Indigenous Screen Office. What I want to ask you is more about the industry as a whole. Do you think that the creative industry has gotten better at telling Indigenous stories? And sort of where would creators still need to push themselves a little bit further to do better?
I mean, as a whole, I think that we've definitely made some headway from, you know, where we were even just like 10 years ago. But I think that there's still a long way to go. There's so many stories that need to be told and that I think should be told. And we're just starting to, it feels like, get into this like broader span of stories being told. There was a lot of historical stories that were coming out and the sharing of Indigenous history. And now I feel like we're sort of moving into more contemporary storytelling and even into like Indigenous futurism with the stories that are being told now, which is like really exciting. It makes it a really exciting time to be an Indigenous filmmaker. But I think that there's definitely still some room to grow in terms of capacity building. Mm-hmm. I think that we're slowly getting there. I'm excited at the prospects of what is to come. And I'm hoping that our funders and our distributors and everyone else out there are also getting excited about all of the stories that are coming out and that they help us make some space for those stories to be seen by the broader audiences out there in Canada and beyond.
Well, knowing that there is more stories being told and it's broadened the type of stories, are you able to sum up everything we've talked about today then and what it actually means to tell Indigenous stories authentically and respectfully?
Oh my gosh, just put it all together into like one neat sentence. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I mean, if there's anything that I want anyone to take away from today is to one, like I said it off the top, nothing about us without us. So, you know, make sure that you're building those collaborative relationships with Indigenous filmmakers. To make sure that you're being respectful, whether you are the one telling the story, and that's like if you're an Indigenous filmmaker or not, make sure that the stories being told are authentic and that it's the voices who own those stories who are telling them, and make sure that you're doing the work of being respectful in the development that you're doing for your project. So if that's working with language speakers, if that's working with knowledge holders, make sure that you are bringing those people on board for, you know, proper authenticity, but also to build those relationships as well and make sure that you are compensating them and keep telling your stories because there's so many more out there that need to be told.
Well, Shailin, this has been a really insightful conversation. Before we say goodbye, are there any other resources that you'd recommend to our listeners and viewers who want to learn more about anything we've talked about today? I know you already mentioned Pathways and Protocols. Anything else?
I would say a big part of the Indigenous like film community is in-person networking events. Just getting to know other filmmakers is always great. VIFF always has a Indigenous filmmaker social that they throw each year, which is also really great. Imaginative Film Festival in Toronto is always an amazing week to not only check out the Indigenous films being made in Canada and across the world, but they also offer networking opportunities, but also really informative and educational panels as well. So I would say, you know, just try and reach out and continue that community building.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your time and your perspective and your wisdom with us here today on First Frame.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a really fun conversation.
Kem, Shailen raised so many good points today. There's definitely a lot to unpack, but I think the big takeaway for me was nothing about us without us. And really making sure that you are not telling stories that are not your own without the people's whose story you're trying to tell involved in the production from the very beginning. I think that was probably the biggest piece for me that I'd really like our creators to take away. What about for you?
To be honest with you, very similar. I think the biggest takeaway is starting early with it. So not waiting, right? As you mentioned, like get people involved, find your network, continue to build your knowledge base about telling Indigenous stories. I think those were some of the big takeaways for me as well.
That's it for this episode of First Frame, brought to you by Tell a Story Hive. Thanks so much to you, our viewers and listeners, for joining us.
Please hit follow so you don't miss a single thing. And if you'd like to learn more about how Tell a Story Hive can help you along your content creation journey, check out storyhive.com.
Until next time, I'm Jennifer Park.
And I'm Cameron Zinger. That's a wrap.